Yes, on this March the 2nd in the year of our Lord 2017, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. And today is a Rumination Thursday, which means with us is our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. How's Tom doing today?
Well, I was doing good until somebody brought me the newspaper from the Post-Dispatch and had a very interesting article. You and I talked about that. We wanted to speak perhaps about the two sermons we each gave last night at our respective churches for Ash Wednesday. And, of course, talk a little bit more about Lent. But would you like to hear the article?
Well, do I have a choice?
Nope.
Okay. Then I want to hear it.
All righty. Out of Chicago. Some Chicago area churches plan to provide ashes mixed with glitter on Ash Wednesday as a sign of support for LGBTQ people.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that? And the next paragraph, on Wednesday, Berry United Methodist Church in Lincoln Square, well, Methodist, you understand why, but Unity Lutheran Church in Edgewater. So, you know, we have what's called an annual with all 6,000 plus churches listed. So I looked that up, and fortunately, it is not a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's probably ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And it ought not surprise us because recently they just had two male pastors get married.
Well, I think at one of the recent national conventions, they embraced homosexuality.
Oh, yes. In fact, our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in convention assembled indicated in a resolution that we don't even consider them to be Lutheran anymore because of the immorality that they're preaching and they're practicing.
But more importantly, why would we say that it was wrong for them to sprinkle, you know, glitter and things like that for support of the LGBT?
Well, you just said it, because it's support of LGBTQ people. Now, let me say something about those initials. L, I think, is lesbian. G is gay.
Right.
B is bisexual.
Well, yeah.
T is transgendered. Q, what do you think Q stands for?
That's a new one. I hadn't heard that one.
Yes. In fact, I've seen some where there's a few more letters added. I was told by someone recently that Q stands for questioning, namely people who are questioning their gender identity, this kind of thing. However, I no longer agree with that. I thought that's what was possible because this Glitter Ash Wednesday initiative was led in part by Parity, which is a New York-based organization that focuses on, and here's how they do LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people.
Oh, boy.
So, and I've seen a number of things on television where they don't mind at all being referred to as queer because that's what a lot of individuals feel that they are. And they don't mean in a negative sense. They just mean different than normal people. But I'll tell you, we have been saying for some time that this gay movement is becoming the ruin of this country in a lot of areas. I would add a P on the end of that for pedophiles. Well, I'll tell you why.
Why did you just put the whole alphabet there?
Well, you could, but the point I'm making is that God regards LGBTQ people in the same way that he regards a pedophile. That is, that they're living a lifestyle that is totally contrary to the word of God. And for us now to put ashes on people with purple on it, talk about destroying the meaning of Lent. Well, what is Lent about?
Well, Lent is that time of preparation, of repentance. And penitence.
Oh, you hit that right on the head. The great message of Lent is repentance.
Yeah.
Seeking the Lord's forgiveness. In fact, just before the program, that's what they were talking about. Lent is for repentance. Well, if anyone needs to be repenting, it's not only every one of us who do sins each and every day, but obviously LGBTQ people need to be repenting. But rather than repenting, guess what they're saying? We need to support these people.
Right. They take the whole season and try to turn it on its head and make it something that it isn't.
Exactly. We, once more, these folks are moving God out of the picture and replacing God with themselves. Did you do ashes last night?
We don't do ashes.
Yeah, we did. I had never done it ever before, so I had to be taught how to do it. And most people came forward. I don't mind putting the sign of the cross on the forehead of individuals. We said ashes to ashes and later on dust to dust, because that's who we are. But it is also for a sign of repentance.
Yeah.
Now, what happened is a Roman Catholic came out, president emeritus, now get this, of the Catholic Theological Union based in Chicago, Reverend Donald Sr. Here's what he said. The ashes smudged on one's forehead serve as a public mark of faith. It would be unfortunate if the religious meaning of Ash Wednesday was lost, he said. So I was feeling pretty good about him until the next paragraph. But then he said he thought that the intent of those choosing glitter ashes wasn't inappropriate.
Ooh.
I mean, what is with this guy? I mean, if you put the word pedophile in there, which is the same level of sin as these other sins, would he say that's not inappropriate, that we should also be in support of pedophiles?
You know, last week we talked about that when we quoted, what was it, Corinthians, that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Oh, look at Romans 1.
We also talked about Romans 1.
Yeah, in the New Testament, that the natural, they give up for the unnatural. And, I mean, you cannot read the Bible and think that this lifestyle is appropriate from God's point of view. Now, I do want to say one other thing. It is absolutely wrong for a Christian to go out and find these people and harm them physically.
Oh, absolutely. We would never support such a thing.
No, and those Christians who do that are really bad. Now, the problem is, the way we're talking right now, they're saying we're harming them. But as I've said a number of times on this program, I have never met an unrepentant gay person who doesn't think you can tell children that this lifestyle is okay.
I would agree with what you're saying.
And that is what Jesus is saying. Whoever offends one of these little ones ought to be drowned in the deepest sea.
It's just a downward spiral, isn't it, into sin?
But here we've got churches now that are trying to support this abominable lifestyle from God's point of view. And it's just such a shame that rather than loving these people and helping them to see that repentance is the meaning of Lent, they have replaced Lent and Jesus Christ with support for LGBTQ.
isn't that kind of spoken about a little bit in Revelations, where wherever the true church shows up, there the false church is right across the block, so to speak, from it?
Yes, I had a good friend, and he was in an LCMS church, and across the street from him was a Mormon temple. And what they did, if I recall, they kept their doors open so that the cross that they had inside their church could be seen by the Mormons coming out of the temple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always a reminder that that wooden cross is our life-giving, life-giving for each of us as redeemed in Christ.
Now, the reporter had some very, and that's the official publication of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They had some very interesting articles in there as we're trying to reach out to people like this to have them repent in the same way we reach out to our own members to have them repent. I mean, how many times have I said, I haven't met anybody at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm that isn't a horrible sinner?
Oh, you know, we do that just almost every Sunday in our churches when we make that confession of sins, that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. And that just covers everything that you just talked about in the gay movement. But it just isn't only the gay movement. It's also in our lives as well.
Yes. The reporter was making a point that it is possible, and I don't know anybody at Trinity Orchard Farm like this, but people who do agree with abortion and gay rights, but they're sitting beside people who have had an abortion and are just feeling really, really guilty about it. And that was a kind of a good insight, I thought, that our paper had, that we need to reach out to both. We need to be talking a lot more. I spent quite a bit of time with the youth confirmation talking about immoral activities, because I just had a conversation about a couple that were engaged, and immediately all their friends asked, when are you going to start living together? And they were amazed that they weren't, because they're both Christians, proper Christians. And so the majority of their friends thought that that's what the next step was. Once you got engaged, you could start living together. And so we talked about that in confirmation, and we talked about other things. And I tell you, these kids know more than you think they know.
Oh, sure they do. They, between the internet, the TV set, the radio, they have access to so much information, and a lot of times it's not so good.
Yeah, I would be making a point like, what is justification? And all of a sudden, one of the kids would be on his phone looking it up and giving me a definition, you know, that they just are really into their phones quite a bit, their cell phones, because they have the internet on there now.
Well, yes, and you bring up an excellent point, and that would happen to me in Bible classes. You know, I'd be asking questions, and they'd be Googling the answer from the internet, and they'd give me an answer, and I said, well, you're kind of close, but I said, I think it's lacking a little spirituality in there. And they would say, well, this is what it says on the internet. And I said, and who wrote the response to that? It had to be some man. I said, you got to test out your resources and see if it has a scriptural definition.
I remember some time ago here on KFUO, we had a host, and on a specific day, he would talk about a term of theology and then look it up on Wikipedia, and almost every time, it was wrong, what Wikipedia had to say about it. And so that really shows you got to be really careful when you look up on the internet, just because it's on there in no way means that it's true, to borrow a kind of a phrase, paraphrasing it. There's a lot of fake theology on the internet.
Well, and really that goes back to our training, back to our college days and our seminary days. I mean, how often our professors would say, go back and see where your resources are coming. How good are those resources
well said
that you're using?
Yes, when we look up what is the meaning of Lent, and here I'm reading from something that is correct, the two elements which are especially characteristic of Lent is the recalling of baptism, or the preparation for it, and repentance, which should be given greater emphasis in the liturgy and in liturgical catechesis. Whereas putting this purple glitter in ashes is contrary to Lent, because it's not a repentance over this lifestyle. It's actually a support for this lifestyle, which is, of course, an abomination before Almighty God.
You know what that kind of reminds me of?
No.
We last night talked about the trees that we find in the Bible, in Genesis and Revelation. You know, there's three specific trees that we talked about: the tree of life, the tree of good and evil, or knowledge, and we knew what the third tree would be.
Hopefully, the cross.
The cross, you got it.
Yes.
And how those all intersect with each other. It's interesting that the tree of life disappears from the book of Genesis, and it reappears in Revelation.
Yes. In the new heaven, we're going to have the tree of life. That's really an important point. And that's why the Lenten season is looking towards Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, with a real emphasis on repentance. We don't want to give the impression, for example, you and I are pastors, but we also confess we are poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but...
yeah, eternal damnation.
That's right. Every pastor who's a human being, the only person who didn't deserve it and got it was Jesus. And
that's
so
right.
I don't want to make a thinking on this program that some Christians are better than other Christians. There can be people who are Christians who are part of the LGBTQ movement, but because of their false pastors, they have a totally wrong view of this. And rather than repenting of it, they're in support of it. And
right.
That can be really dangerous, because God doesn't make any comfort in Romans 1. If you're living that lifestyle, you have a very good chance of not being saved.
Yeah, you know, and it's so important to kind of remind people that Adam and Eve ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we are born then with that original sin in our hearts, and it gets corrupted, and the only way that it gets redeemed is through the blood of Christ.
Well said. My sermon was, I'm going through the words of the cross, and the first one, it appears that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And here's a question I asked. Well, wait a minute. I thought forgiveness comes to those who know what they're doing and are repenting of it. And so I asked the question, how could Jesus forgive those who were not realizing what they were doing and therefore not repenting? And I use that great distinction we have in theology between objective and subjective justification, where objectively Jesus did pay for the sins of every person. And therefore, subjective is where you then receive in faith that assurance that that sin has been forgiven and you repent of it. But to have a Lenten service where you are supporting abominable sin, this just flies in the face of the whole season.
Yeah, it's like you've used that illustration before. It's like it's okay to be an arsonist and go out and create fires.
Yes. Yes. You see, we love pedophiles. And when somebody hears that, what do you mean you love pedophiles? Well, you have to understand what the word love means. Jesus loved me, and from God's point of view, my sin is no worse than that of a pedophile.
And all sin condemns us.
Yes. The breaking of one law ruins the whole commandment. So we need to help people understand that there but for the grace of God go any one of us. And when people are caught in this horrible demonic lifestyle, as all of us have something, that's what church is about. To help people realize that Christ came to die for those sins, and therefore to use a Lenten service to support those sins is totally contrary to the Christian message.
Right. That's why I bring up the Tree of Life in Genesis, and it reappears in Revelation. You know, the eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, which they were not to touch at all, just sent our world into a downward spiral. And there you have that journey from Genesis to Revelation, and you see God's love with his people all the way through there. And the fact that we couldn't keep the law, we couldn't find our way to heaven, and it took that tree right in the very middle of it all, and that is the cross of Christ.
Yes. The one word they use here is that the reason they want to do this is to express solidarity. And if they mean by that there but for the grace of God go I as a sinner, then I don't have a problem with that, in at least expressing solidarity with sinners who are doing these lifestyles. But if they mean solidarity in the sense of agreement, then as Jesus said, even to poor Peter, who said, no, you're not going to be killed in Jerusalem. I'll protect you. Get thee behind me,
Satan.
Yes. Yep. And that's a word that the church needs to be putting out even more today to every one of us who refuse to repent of sins that God considers abominations.
You know, it almost sounds like, if I hear you correctly, that just about anything in our mind's eye, we become our own gods.
Well, remember, we've said this many a time on this program, you cannot break any commandment without breaking the first.
Yeah, that would be the, yeah.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Before me, yep.
Because if I want to go in solidarity with a pedophile or a gay person, that is breaking God's commandment. If by that solidarity I mean I'm in agreement with your lifestyle, and I'm going to teach my children that they can also live that lifestyle, when God has clearly condemned it, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. The words of Jesus are throughout the whole Bible.
And it's always that reminder that Jesus died for all the sins. When we hear it from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turns his back on Jesus, for the sins of all mankind are heaped upon Jesus.
Because he is our substitute.
That's right. He is our Savior. He's the one that gives us that forgiveness of sins. And in our baptism, that's where the glorious exchange takes place. Our robes of our sins are taken off by Christ's death upon the cross, and we're given his robes of righteousness.
And that's a message that Lent ought to be about all the time. So when you get an article like this in the daily newspaper coming out of Chicago, it doesn't surprise me that we hear these things, but we, particularly at KFUO, is one of the few radio stations, as far as I know, we're the only one in the whole world where you have a consistent message of the Christian faith. I don't know any other station. Other stations may occasionally have good programs, but to have it consistently, AM 850 KFUO, or on your internet, KFUO.org, is the only station I'm aware of.
Absolutely. It's the good news, and tell our friends not just only Law Gospel, but the other programming that we hear on KFUO.
Yes, and the reason we enjoy them, because they have the law to show us that we should repent of our sins, and then the gospel that the forgiveness of sins is free of charge. That's what's meant by grace, that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Absolutely. Got a confirmation coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm expressing that very point, Ephesians 2:8-10, by grace through faith.
Now, we're doing our confirmation, Trinity Orchard Farm, Palm Sunday. When's yours?
Actually, March 19th.
Really?
I just finished an adult, and she's just raring to go.
Oh, yeah. Adults.
She is just so, you can see the Holy Spirit working in her heart. And
yeah, we've got an opportunity for baptisms and adult confirmation before Palm Sunday.
Mm.
Well, thanks very much, and we're trying to get you into town. Today I'm on my way to do a worship service at a retirement home, followed by youth confirmation, adult instruction, and a Bible study tonight at Trinity Orchard Farm at 7 p.m. Thanks so much for being with us, pastors.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reimnitz will be back tomorrow, Open Mic Friday. God bless.
It's a Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.